ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I'm Jo Trilling, and this is Roots and Shoots, ABC Radio Perth's gardening podcast with new episodes twice a week. It's the gardening show for green thumbs and aspiring horticulturalists alike, and the wonderful Sabrina Hahn is here to answer all your curly questions.
Hello, Jo. God, I didn't think you were ever going to make it.
I was quite flummoxed there.
I thought I'm going to ring in.
I was really flummoxed. Poor Vivian and Carrie.
No.
We've had a string of people who knew exactly what the code word was, so there you go. Hey, yes. How are you?
I am exceptional because today we have summer for the day and then I think it changes again tomorrow.
Yeah, it does. A bit of a cold front coming through. I'm glad you're exceptional. You're looking wonderfully exceptional. Sabby, it is delightful out there.
Yep.
But everyone is complaining about plane trees at the moment and seem to be choking on the material they drop. Why are we so obsessed with putting them in everywhere? And what do you think of them? I mean, they've got a beautiful canopy, but boy, oh boy, if you get something stuck in your throat, you're...
They are a major, major problem. I think we have so much better choices than plane trees these days. But why plane trees have been used by landscape architects in urban areas is that they cope with pollution. They have a very wide canopy. They're deciduous, so you get the winter sun coming in. But the big problem is in landscape architecture, they do one unit of plant ID. So they don't really have a broad knowledge of a plant palette. So the plane trees are very easy to grow in the big commercial nurseries and they pump out thousands of them. So if you want a fast-growing, pollution-tolerant, big canopy, deciduous tree, because they don't know anything else, they go, we'll put plane trees in. But more and more and more people are having really severe reactions to the pollen and also the seeds that come out of those big seed balls. And when Jillo worked here, she would be absolutely written off with the plane trees. We really need to look at alternative to plane trees because the health risk is enormous. And I know in Victoria around the schools they were taking them out. Was asthmatic kids with allergies. It was a nightmare.
And it does seem to impact a lot of people. I mean, even just anecdotally in the office, you mentioned Jillo, everybody's sort of coughing and spluttering. And God forbid you actually inhale. Someone was practically choking the other day and coughing for about 10 minutes.
And the other thing is they don't give anything back to our wildlife. So in terms of delivering something back to nature, they actually don't. So,
what would a better option be then? Is there a fast-growing large canopy native or what other options are there?
There are lots and lots of other deciduous trees that are, you know, we need to look towards the Mediterranean trees like the oak trees, for instance, rather than going for plane trees. So the deciduous Mediterranean oaks are very hardy. If you've got an area where there's soil and you can actually reticulate them, you've got things like the ginkgo trees. You've got, if you wanted an evergreen, you've got carob trees. Mind you, they can be a bit smelly if you get the female and not the male. There's so many alternatives that are out there now. We don't need to use plane trees as much as we do.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. It is 26 past 2, 1300 222 720. If you've got a question for Sabby, it's always best if you call in and then you can ask a follow-up question if required. And I'm sorry to all of you who sent through your escaping pet stories that we didn't get time to. There were some crackers out there. Bill in Currumbine. Oh, no, sorry, hang on. It was that somebody sent through something that they wanted identified.
Oh, that moth.
Oh, yes. I can't remember who it was. Do you know what it is?
No, I don't. It's the most exquisite.
Oh, Marty wants it identified. Do you know, Marty, earlier I had possibly the most knowledgeable person about moths in the studio, Professor Eric Warrant, who's here at the Forest Foundation. Yeah. He's been studying bogong moths for years. I wish you'd sent it in then.
You know who would know is Dr. Bugalug. So when the news is on, I'm going to take a picture, send it to Daryl Hardy if he's around, because he's an entomologist. He'll tell us exactly what that moth comes from.
Brilliant. Okay. Susan says, could a pincushion hakea in Morley Sand planted too close to a window be moved out by a metre? It's about a year old and it is flourishing. Oh,
it's worth a crack. At least it's in sandy soil. So what you'll need to do is use a wetting agent, water it really, really, really well before you dig it up, because you'll need as much soil around the root mass as possible, and just a very light prune on the sides and the top. It's worth a go.
Okay, it's worth a go, says Savvy. Kevin's in Bridgetown. G'day, Kevin.
How you going there? Hi,
good.
Sabrina.
G'day, Kevin.
Weird question, but it makes my brain tick over a fair bit. Okay, if you have a flower or a plant, mm-hmm. and it's 5 or 6 years old, okay, in your garden,
yeah,
and you take a cutting off it and plant it, mm-hmm. does that cutting, is that still 5 or 6 years old, or is that a brand new plant?
That's going to become a brand new plant, because where you take the cutting from, Kevin, even though it's from a 5-year-old plant, you are taking sort of much, much newer growth. And once it develops a root system on that cutting, it becomes a new plant, but it will be genetically identical to the parent plant.
I'm going to sleep well tonight.
Well, I'm pleased I can help your sleep patterns, Kevin.
Good on you, Kevin. G'day, Natalie. I think you're in Duncraig.
Yes, I am, yeah. I have the very – oh, hello, ladies. Sorry. Hello.
That's all right.
A little bit nervous being on the radio, but happy to.
We're very kind.
We are. We'll be gentle.
I've got the really common Agapanthus in my garden.
Yeah.
Both of the plants are green and glossy, but some of them are actually starting to shrivel, like the long leaves are shriveling, and there's like this white powdery substance on the leaf.
Oh.
Do you know what that might be?
I certainly do, but it's not a good answer for you. That's going to be that's going to be mealybug, which is a fair sort of a thing to get rid of. So now, what you need to do is you need to spray it with a soap, a potassium-based soap spray. It's all made up for you if you just go to a nursery and say you want a potassium-based soap spray. You're going to spray it, let it drizzle right down in the middle of the leaves. Then 2 weeks later, you're going to do it again. And then 2 weeks after that, you will do it again. It's going to take 3 cracks at it to break the life cycle.
Okay. Well, that's good. At least I don't have to pull them out.
No.
Flowers are starting to come up.
No, don't pull them out.
Just before we come to your calls, very quickly, Savvy, somebody thought they knew every weed known to mankind. There is a newcomer. The 4 daisy bushes and the 1 rose bush that these grew at the base of have all died. What was that weed that I showed you?
Oh, no. That's not the cause of the death of plants. So that's it's a weed that comes from South Africa, and it's basically just a stalk. Look, it's parasitic. But so you'll find just this big, long stalk, usually fatter than that, has pink flowers on the end. It doesn't have leaves. But it's not going to cause the death of the plant. So there's something else going on there that's the problem.
Okay.
Keep pulling the parasite out. And it'll be fine.
Something else going on with the plants.
Yeah.
And we started off talking about the plane trees, and you gave some great advice to urban planners and all the rest of it. Wendy said they were just at the Chelsea Flower Show in London, 5 o'clock, noticed everyone started coughing and blowing noses, including them. It was the Chelsea cough, apparently called the Chelsea cough. They were surrounded by plane trees.
Yep, absolutely. They are overused in urban landscapes. I think we need to either use our own plants that come from Australia. You know, having deciduous trees isn't always the answer.
Okay, let's go to the calls. Graham's in Karrinup. Hello, Graham.
G'day, Joe and Sabrina. I have a question. The question is, does sooty black mould always kill mature roses?
No. What sooty black mould does, it affects the way in which the leaves can photosynthesise because they can't collect the sunlight as efficiently. So sooty mould will be one of different factors that are causing the death of the rose. So if they've got sooty mould, if they've had black spot, then they get sooty mould. You've got one fungus on top of another, and then they'll get attacked by insects. So if you compile all of those together, that's what kills the rose. But sooty mould itself won't kill the rose.
What do I do about sooty black mould? Anything?
Yes, you can indeed. So what you need to do is you need to spray a potassium soap spray on the rose, and then 3 to 4 days after that, you need to actually hit the rose with a high-pressure hose. So that blows off so when you put the potassium on, or even you can use bicarb of soda and water, it dries the sooty mould out, but you need to physically blow the sooty mould off the leaves.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
See you, Graham. Jocelyn's in Cardup. I think it's a cutting question. Jocelyn, hello.
Woodies.
Oh, hello, Joe and Sabrina. First to the gentleman that was asking about the biological, or whatever we call it, age of cuttings.
Yeah.
A fig tree, I've seen a number of things where you can do the air layering on quite big or long pieces. Yeah. And some of those sort of state, if you do it this way, you get an instant tree and you'll get fruit a lot quicker.
Yep.
Does that actually apply, or is it different doing air layering?
Well, air layering gives you a cutting that has the root system already on it. So you'll get a tree much faster, you'll get fruit faster because it's already developed a root system. So you cut it below where you've done your aerial layering and you plant that in, and you'll get a much quicker tree.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. I promised myself I'm doing this for the last umpteen years, and I've saved up some cool drink bottles,
great.
I'm going to do it.
I tell you what, Jocelyn, aerial layering is so much fun, and you can do all sorts of plants with aerial layering. And when you use the drink bottles, it's great because you can see the roots when they actually start developing, and it's a really exciting way of propagating.
So I've been so interested in doing it, and then every year comes along and then I don't. And now
this is
I'm
the year.
I'm going to do it.
This is the year. Oh, that's wonderful, Jocelyn. Good luck with it. Let's head to Wongan Hills. Tilly is in Wongan Hills. Hello, Tilly.
Oh, hi. Lovely of you to take my call. Hi, Sabby.
Hello. I'll be up in Wongan Hills on Friday and Saturday.
Aren't we so excited?
so am I. So am I.
It's going to be fabulous. Yeah. It really is. I mean, the wildflowers up there at the moment are just spectacular.
Apparently it's been an absolutely fantastic season.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. So, you know, there's a lot on all weekend. You know, there are concerts and all sorts of things, so we're hoping to get a good crowd up there. And of course, having you there is going to be super special. Anyway, look, Sabby, I have sent the photograph in. I've got a Brugmansia. And
right.
The bark has split.
Oh, my goodness. And you've got lots of holes in there. So you've had a borer in there.
Yes, that's right. So, I've pruned it right back.
Yeah.
And it's shooting away again.
Yeah.
Is there something I should treat it with?
No. See, I can see that the bark is it's healing itself. So you've got the bark that's actually growing over the dead part, so there's enough cambium flow for your Brugmansia to survive. Don't paint it with anything. Don't put anything on it. The tree will heal itself. Where the boreholes are, though, I'd be shoving a little wire shish kebab stick in there to see if you can, if there's anything left in there and you can squish its guts.
I will just give that a damn good go.
Well done.
Oh, good on you, Tilly. And enjoy your time with Sabby when she's up in Wongan Hills. Irene, I'm going to come to you in just a tick. But Marty, I hope you're still listening, because Sabby has weaved her magic and she has got an answer to your question. That moth is.
So I have to say it wasn't my brain. This is beautiful Daryl Hardy, who I sent a picture to. He believes it's the emperor gum moth. So the emperor, and aptly named emperor.
It's moth. Stunning, isn't it?
It is extraordinary. So
not as extraordinary as the bogong moths who fly 1,000 kilometres.
I know, they're amazing.
Isn't it remarkable? Use the stars and the magnetic field of the earth to get their way to the snowy, to the alpine regions.
Even we can't do that.
We can't do a lot of things.
Oh, no, that's true. Yeah. Well, we can't fly, really. No. Can we? Don't have wings. But so thank you, Daryl. We need to get Daryl in more often because he's the entomologist with flair.
There
I like
we go.
To say.
We all love entomologists.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's head to Pinjarra. Irene has got an issue with her pea plants, I think. Hi, Irene.
Oh, hello. Hello, Sabrina.
Hello, Irene.
I planted peas about 6 weeks ago into rich compost. They've grown beautifully to a metre high without any flowers or pods.
No.
I have no crop.
Well, that's no good. So how long have they been in for?
6 weeks.
Oh, and you haven't had a flower?
Nope.
Don't like your chances now, but...
neither do I.
Look, sometimes when the soil's really rich, they produce heaps and heaps of leaves and then they just sort of get lazy with making flowers and fruit, so as in the pea pod. So I would just leave them in there. I'd give them some liquid potassium and just see if that makes any difference at all.
Okay. I wondered whether I should have put some lime in before I planted.
Yeah, well, you could put a bit of lime in now. There's no harm in doing that now. So lime and then liquid potassium and see.
Okay.
But I wouldn't give up on them yet. They sound healthy.
Don't give up on your pea plants. Very quickly, I'm going to come to all those calls in just a tick, but Beth wanted to know if you could identify this bush and where she can potentially get one.
Okay, so that's an abelia, A-B-E-L-I-A, and most of the nurseries have them around this time of the year. So it's a little bit hard. It's either abelia or weigelia, W-E-I-G-E-L-I-A. So abelia or weigelia, one or the other, because I can't quite see.
It's a little difficult to...
Yeah, I'd say it's an abelia. So
okay.
You'll be able to get that. Just order it in from a nursery.
Fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. Let's head to Busselton because Graham's got a question for you. Hi, Graham.
Oh, hello. Hello. How you going, girls?
Good.
I've got an alternative to the plane tree. And it's a Northern Territory... eucalypt. It's called, I'm pretty sure it's called Turrilenia.
Oh, yes, I know Turrilenia. That's a beautiful tree. A bit hard.
Bit hard
to get hold of, though.
They are. I've grown about 30 of them over a period of time in High Wycombe and out at Maida Vale, and I've got two left, which I've taken down to Busselton, and I've about to stick them in the ground down there, but they're fast growing and they've got a really weird leaf.
Yeah, I know, it's beautiful.
It's furry.
Yes. See, this is what we need, Graham. We need more people ringing in that have got experience and know different trees in different areas and also that you know, are better for our climate. So hopefully the nurseries will start growing all sorts of trees as an alternative to the plane tree. And just on that, that reminded me of the batwing coral tree, which they use as a street tree up in the Pilbara. It is the most beautiful tree and it's deciduous. So Erythrina vespertilio.
Another great option.
It would be fantastic street trees, the old batwing coral tree.
Fantastic. 14 to 3. Let's head to Leonora. Is this you, Michael? Hello, Michael. Oh, I think I might have lost Michael. Poor Slim is doing a sterling job out there. Let's chat to Brooke in Subiaco.
That's clearly not good enough, actually.
He's on his own. Give him a break. Brooke, have I got you, Brooke?
Yes, you do.
Oh, fantastic.
Hi, I'm just calling. I've tried a couple of times to propagate a bougainvillea plant from my father's house,
yeah.
And this is my last chance because it's now all been demolished.
Oh, no.
so I've got two sticks
yep.
that have some growth coming off them.
Yep.
I don't really feel like there's roots sort of growing at the bottom of the sort of sticks that I cut off.
Right.
Do I just let them keep growing and then take that new growth off that sort of twig and replant them, or?
I would leave the new growth on. Okay,
yep.
So the best propagating material, Brooke, is you come down 10, 15 centimetres from the very top of the growth and then take a cutting that is 35 to 40 centimetres long, and the cutting has to be the thickness of your index finger. You're going
right.
to put the first two nodes under the soil.
Well, it's too late for that.
Oh, okay. All
the
right.
The house has been knocked over and the
bougainvillea
is gone.
Already.
So this
okay.
is all I've got left
okay, so
out
leave,
of my attempt.
Okay, so leave the growing tip on. Leave them in
yep.
the pots because over the summer period they will develop a good root system. So don't cut anything off. Yeah.
Okay, so just leave it going and
absolutely.
Eventually
yep.
you'll be tickety-do.
Yep.
Okay.
Tickety-do.
And just, I mean, I know normally full sun, but should I sort of just give them morning sun?
Yeah, I just give them morning sun at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good on you, Brooke. And they'll be beautiful. I mean, they're a pain to look after once they start
That's
going, but they're so,
so pretty.
Stunning. We've got a beautiful rose red one in the garden. Mm. Just on that,
yeah.
Brooke, you know, trying to keep something from, you know, an old property that's
yeah.
been knocked over makes me think of a situation in Netherlands. There were all these very established frangies that have been gone,
yeah,
developers
gone.
Moved in. So some lovely people there have taken some of the frangies.
Right.
Just remind us with the frangipani.
Okay.
How we best prepare them?
So you have to allow them to callus over. It takes between 2 and 3 weeks where you leave them somewhere in the shade. So you don't want any sap coming out of it. So 2 to 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
lay them down horizontally.
Lay them or not standing
lay
up?
Them, no,
oh,
lay
okay.
them down horizontally. Then you're going to get a very free-draining potting mix. You're going to pot them up in potting mix. Don't put them straight in the ground. You're going to put two stakes in because the cuttings are heavy, but there's no root system. It will take 1 year for that cutting to develop a root system. So don't plant it out for at least a year. Don't overwater because there's no root system. Only water once a week. Put them where they get morning sun, but not all day sun. After 6 months, if they shoot leaves, then you can start giving them more sun. No fertilizer because they can't uptake it. They don't have a root system.
So even if they're really big,
because
these are quite big,
yep.
still in the potting mix in a pot.
So if they're really big,
yeah.
then they're going to have to put them in the ground.
Okay.
They will need two stakes.
But you can put the potting mix in the hole and then...
Definitely
okay.
plant them out with a full bag of potting mix, a whole bag.
Mm.
Stake them really well. Do not fertilise them.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot fertilise until you see leaves coming out. And the same thing, don't overwater because the base of it will rot.
Okay, yeah, because they were worried that they'd been left out for a little while. But
no,
they're like, no, that's
good.
Fine.
Yeah, that's it.
Even if they've been standing up rather than like, doesn't matter.
Doesn't
okay,
matter.
Great.
Doesn't
that's
matter.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Now, Nav has very patiently been waiting. G'day, Nav.
Hi, ladies. I've got two questions. Is it possible that we can get limes through a rootstock which is developed like a tree?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't take the rootstock. Definitely not.
No, just because we bought this house and we got this lime tree, two stems, very thin. Now we have got limes on them, fertilized them, so limes on them, but we had snails. So I sprayed it with dishwashing liquid and some neem oil mixed together. But the leaves are going yellow now and dropping.
Oh.
And they're curly as well. Oh. So I'm not sure what happened.
Okay, so it won't be what you sprayed with, but they're definitely not. They're not happy. I wouldn't do anything else at this point in time. Okay, just water them.
All right. And what's the best way to support the tree? Because it's there's so many limes, but the stems are very fragile.
Okay. So what you use is you use a prop, like a stick prop, a forked stick. So you can prop them up, or you can tie the heavier ones into the center of another branch. So you sort of, you can tie a branch to a branch.
Good luck with that, Nav. Now, thank you very much to the person who said, just a quick note to say between Durian Bay and Lancelin at the moment, there are the most incredible xanthorias in flower. It's an amazing sight.
Ah.
So very lucky. And someone really wants to propagate
It looks like either a Stephanotis or a...
Jan says, is it a Moraya?
Oh, it's a Moraya.
Jan, you answered your own question. You're too clever.
Easy peasy.
Okay, there you go, Jan.
Yeah, just take a tip cutting, pop it in propagation mix, Bob's your arm.
Okay, we're going to very quickly squeeze Pete's question in. G'day, Pete.
How are you going?
Yeah, good, Pete.
I'm just wondering if you can grow roses from cuttings.
You most definitely can.
How do I do that and when do I do that?
Okay, so you could have a crack now. It's probably not too late. You need to take a cutting that is as thick as your index finger or your middle finger, and it has to be about 20 centimetres long. Some people grow them in sphagnum moss and water. You will definitely need a hormone gel. So you need to dip it in a hormone gel for hard wood, and then start them in a propagation mix in a pot.
Good luck. Good luck, good luck, good luck. Sue's in Esperance. Can she chop back this old philandron?
Oh, philodendron.
Philodendron, sorry.
Oh, bloody hell. It's like
huge.
It's like James and the Giant Peach. Yeah, definitely.
Ooh.
Cut the top off, plant the top, and it'll shoot from the bottom as well. Two for the price of one, Joe.
Oh, there you go. Grandag of Duncraig says, Sabrina and Joe, escaping animals and a mention of a marin reminded me of an episode from my youth. We were visiting my uncle's farm near the Harvey Weir, had a successful morning pulling the cray pots. We had about half a tea chest full of marins in the laundry. The dogs got in and turned the chest over. The mayhem of dogs, dads, mums and about eight kids trying to catch the marin is a vivid memory. Grandag. Of Duncraig, good on you. Hey, Sabby, thank you, as always.
My pleasure.
And sorry to those of you we didn't get to, but a very special friend of the show is turning 10, and we want to say a very big happy birthday, double digits, to gorgeous Lucas.
Oh, Lucas, happy birthday.
ABC Listen, podcasts, radio, news, music and more.